47 lesser gods, the minor gods of the Anunnaki. These are the main minor gods. You'll see. Abgal. Abgal, you're seeing a slideshow of a god wearing in a fishy suit, disguised as a fish. That is labeled as a fishy suit. Earthlings called it that and did what they could by that, because Abgal, being Enki's pilot, was with Enki, who was the first to come to Earth with a group of 50. And when Enki lands, Abgal and Enki landed in the Persian Gulf right by the shore between the rivers Euphrates and Tigris. And Persian Gulf shore, they get out of the saucer and swim to the shore where Alalu is waiting for them. Alalu is the very first to land on Earth. He ran away, being that he had executed the existing king in an attempt to become king himself. Anyway, he goes to Earth, discovers gold, and radios back to Nibiru saying, I saved the planet, I have found gold, it's on Earth, inside the Forbidden Zone, and come get it, I'm saving your planet, make me king. So Anu, the acting king, sends his oldest and wisest son, Enki, down through the asteroid belt, the Forbidden Zone, to Earth. And once they get there, there's Alalu. So Abgal becomes very important as far as bringing Enki to Earth. Okay, and you'll see him with wings because he's flies. And you'll see him with the fishy suit. The fishy suit is just simply, and for instance, Artifact 4, you'll see a god in a winged disc, a flying saucer. Then you'll see underneath it, the Tree of Life, and on either side of that, gods in a fishing suit. One being Abgal, the other being Enki. And that's how they are depicted. If you see one alone, it may be Enki. So here's some artifacts of Abgal with Enki. Next is Abu. Well, that's all I've got to say about Abu is what's listed there. You can read the quotes. Amasulama. There's a quote there, daughter to Ereshkigal with Enki, it must be with Enki, sister, older sister to Nengazita. Okay. Next would be Anzu. Anzu, you'll see him depicted as a winged beast, usually looking back at the forever chasing Ninurta. Anzu was, at one time, he had relieved Marduk, so he became the leader of Mars, the way station. Mars is where they would drop the gold off from Enlil's area. Enki would mine it, his people, send it up river to Enlil. They would smelt it there, and the pure gold would be sent to Mars, and they would be warehoused until their planet came by, just on right by the asteroid belt, and they would drop it off onto their planet from Mars. Okay, so Anzu was in charge of the way station in Mars. Marduk gets married, and you'll see the Anzu comes down, and others come down, and they have sex with the daughters of men. Well, while that's going on, Anzu sees Enlil taking a bath, so he grabs the Tablets of Destinies from Enlil. That's what you need to rule. You got that? You're basically in charge. And he's trying to pull a coup on Enlil. So they become enemies real quick after that. So Enlil is asking his sons, who will go after Anzu and get my Tablets of Destinies back? And he asks one after another until finally Ninurta, his eldest son and heir to the throne, he asks him to go do it. He says, fine. And he's in his saucer chasing Anzu in his saucer, and they just fight and fight and really get nowhere. Ninurta is not doing very well. Enki tells him, aim at the pinions. So when he does that, and down comes Anzu. Anzu is, of course, I guess they tried him, I doubt it, but he's convicted to death, sentenced to death, and buried on Mars. There's a face on Mars of Alalu, the first guy to come to Earth. Anzu is the second guy buried on Mars, and that does it. So on the face, you'll see Alalu, and also in the tomb is Anzu, who was buried there later after being executed. And there are texts to this, and you can read about it. Apkula, you'll basically see artifacts of Apkula with an eagle head and wings. An eagle's head, all they're trying to tell you here, eagle with wings, eagle-headed god with wings, they're just not giving you his face, that's all. They're trying to tell you what he is capable of flight and much more. But he's the helper god to many of them. You'll see him around Enki and Enlil a lot. Anyway, not quite as important, but good enough to be on the 47 major minors. Asimoa is the daughter of Enki and Herzog via Utu. What that means is Enki has sex with his daughter or granddaughter. I forget which Utu is. He has sex with Utu, and she complains about it to Ninhurzog, and Ninhurzog says, okay, that's it. So she takes the pregnancy away from Utu, and she carries it and then starts delivering children, Enki's children, delivered through Ninhurzog. I don't know how they did that, but Ninhurzog took the pregnancy away from Utu. And so you can read about that in the quotes as well. She married Ningazita, so, I mean, she's important. Kakan, you'll see him in quotes in many texts, and he's basically the lord of the animals with hooves. So, I mean, that's the best I can tell you about him. shell pad. Shell pad is in the house of Ben-Hurzog in Kish. That's where he lives. From that, and being that there's a hymn to him, I draw the conclusion that he is her spouse living in Kish with her. That's the best I can come up with. He does run her house. That I know. He's the house master. Next is Damu. Very interesting. Look at these artifacts. Damu is the son of Bo, who is the daughter to King Anu. So you're talking about a direct line to the king here. Bo is a physician. Her son Damu, who I believe she had with Ninurta, is a physician. So when you look at these artifacts, in particular, look at 2A. There's Damu and his mother, Bo, and under the tent, administering medical attention to the patient. It just really doesn't get any plainer than that. And outside, you'll see, outside of this on 2A, you'll see Bo's dog, and you'll see Ninurta. So there's the father, there's the mother, there's the son, Damu, and they're all very powerful gods. So that's why Damu's there. And, of course, there's quotes and a text that you can read. Inshag is one of those that was born by Ninhursag. Enki impregnates his offspring, Udu. And she complains that Herzog carries the load and delivers the children. Utu gets away without the pregnancy. So Inshag is one of these, a son born to them. Geshtanana, well, this is an important goddess. She would be the sister to Dumuzi. And the daughter to Enki and Ninsun. Now, Geshtanana, she sang songs, recited poetry, I guess, and she was a scribe. For instance, in artifact number 2, you see her, she's in the middle, you see her with the stylus in the tablet. Okay. Very interesting is Geshtanana. Dumuzi rapes her little sister, Geshtanana. Dumuzi's oldest brother, Marduk, finds out about it, gets extremely mad, and goes after Dumuzi. It's unclear. Dumuzi either is killed by Marnik or accidentally drowns, running from Marnik. But either way, Dumuzi's dead, body badly water damaged. Enki cannot bring him back to life. And Geshtanana is very saddened by that. And you'll see her on artifact. Oh, what's the number here? Artifact 2. Another artifact 2, I guess. You'll see Geshtanana just outside the doorway to the underground. That's the underworld. And that's Geshtanana. And what she's trying to do is she's mourning for her brother, Dumuzi, who is now in the underworld. Okay, that, by the way, angers Inanna, who is the spouse to Dumuzi and sister-in-law to Geshtanana. Anyway, Inanna becomes extremely angry and blames Marduk for her husband's death. And the wars began between Enlil's descendants and Enki's descendants. Next, and there's quite a bit about Geshtanana. I mean, she's an important goddess by all means. Next is Haya. He's one of the older gods that came down to help establish crops. He brought in barley and some other grain seeds. First, they were strains that would work well in the mountains, and then later into the valleys. But he was the barley god. He was also in charge of the stores. You can imagine what the stores are, but the store, I don't know, is that storage houses? I don't know. So you'll see Haya with barley sticking off his shoulders, coming off his shoulders, in these artifacts. The barley god, he's the spouse, by the way, to Nasaba. For instance, on artifact number 5 under Haya, you'll see Nasaba sitting in her ziggurat pyramid. Nasaba is the goddess of crops. So here comes her husband along with Ninurta carrying the plow and Asherah. Here they come, and you can see that it's all about growing plants, crops. Right off of artifact 5 is evidence of the gods having to do the farming in the Eden. This is prior to mankind, the worker race, being developed. So we're talking about early history of the gods on Earth, when the gods bore the yoke of all the work establishing a colony and mining gold and shipping gold. 300 in the mining process, 300 in the establishment, on top of the earth, in the fertile lands between the rivers Tigris and Euphrates, called the Eden. Anyway, there you would have 300 helping doing the farming and doing the irrigating, digging the canals and spinning thread to make clothes and everything it takes to house them and take care of them while they work. And so there's a lot of work that the gods did, and they got tired of it. They looked for a worker race, and that's where we come from, in their image. Notice that, in their image. So Haya, he's in charge of the barley and the storehouses, married to a very important goddess, Nasaba. Okay, next is Haya, quotes and a hymn. Hindursaga, that's Utu's son. He's an accountant, and he married the Nanshi, I don't know, but she's his accountant. Okay, so Hindursaga is given authority through Utu, and you can read about it in the hymn to Hindursaga. Igalum, son to Ninurta, not much on him. There's his, see, every one of these gods that are related to the king in some way and are major gods and minor important gods, like Igalum, every one of them had a realm of responsibility. And, for instance, Igalum, he was the chief superintendent of, I don't know, taking care of Ninurta's house. I guess, Izumud, that's Inky's closest advisor. He's two-headed. So when you see an artifact with one of these gods that has a face facing both directions, forward and backward, that is the one and only Izumud. The Romans called him Janus. January, the month, is named after him. So, for instance, artifact number 19, you got Inky seated in his house, his ziggurat, on his throne. And before him comes his trusted friend and vizier, Izumud, and then some of his sons. And you'll notice on artifact 19, a mixed breed of beasts, part this, part that. It's just Inky doing DNA mixes, trying to come up with a worker race. That's what you see his sons involved with. Okay, so as you go through the artifacts of Izumud, you'll mainly see him with Inky, because that's who he's always beside. Next is Kaka, not that big of a deal, not much on him, but he's working with Anu, and Anu's the king, so that makes him very important. Khusu, she who consecrates the hands, we're talking about meals here. She's the daughter to Enlil, spouse to Gibel. Gibel is the god of the kilns. He's the one who forges metals. This is before man. Forging metals for the gods, whatever is needed for their colonization of Earth. So, and Gibel is a son to Inky. So he's doing things and manufacturing things, forging things for both Inky's needs and Enlil's needs. Okay, that's Gibel. Khusu, of course, being the spouse to Gibel. Makes them both, one's the daughter to Enlil, the girl, the spouse is the daughter to Inky. Or a son to Inky. So what you're talking about here is occasionally Inky's descendants marries Nenherzog's descendants, but occasionally they don't. They'll marry within their own bloodlines. And of course they are the same bloodline under the king. One's of the double seed, one isn't. Okay, Lamazu. I could not tell you much about Lamazu other than what I'm showing you. It's a demon of some sort. And you can read about it, get, you know, an overview from Wikipedia. And there's some artifacts. Martu is an important minor god. Again, a direct descendant of King Anu. He's his son. And Anu's daughter, Nenherzog. So he's the son of the king and the king's daughter. That makes him born of the double seed, but he's younger than Enlil. Enlil has the same parents. He's younger than Enlil, and therefore he is not the heir to Anu. Enlil is. But he's important, as you can see. It's his heritage. And Nenherzog is extremely important, like King Anu. So you can go through those, and you'll see an importance there. With Martu, lots of texts you can read. None of them have the stars on it, a must read. None of them are must reads. Namtar, you'll find him in the underworld with Ereshkigal, and he's the gatekeeper. very important position. Like I said, they all have positions, realms of responsibility. And these major minor gods are more like helpers to the major gods. But they're all of the same bloodline. They're all related to the king in some way. One or two, maybe. I don't know. I'd say most all of them are related to the king. And so Namtar, you can also read the Inanna's Descent. When it comes to the underworld, that's where you're going to run into Namtar. And I definitely recommend you read The Descent of Inanna or The Descent of Ishtar. They're both starred. The triple star, I believe, is better than the double star, so that's why I did it. Okay, so that's Namtar. Next is Nanaya. Now we're talking Nabu's spouse. Nabu is Marduk's third son. Nanaya assists Inanna. Again, the major minor gods assisting the major gods. And you'll find a few, just, I don't know if I got one or two, just a few artifacts of Nanaya. And then, of course, there are texts that you can read about her. A couple of them are starred. There's even a prayer to Nanaya from a king, and a tiggy from a king, and a praise from a king. So we're talking about now, man has been developed, the gods have had sex with the daughters of man, and mixed breed kings, mixed breeds appointed to kingship, start to populate the earth. Nanshi, that's another important goddess. She's her realm of responsibility are the birds and the fishes, mainly in the Persian Gulf. Daughter to Enki and then Herzog via the Udu mess where Enki rapes his descendant Udu, and then Herzog gets angry, takes the pregnancy from Utu, takes it upon herself, and starts having children for Enki through this pregnancy. Nanshi is one of these kids. And you'll see in the artifacts, she's important. And I'm certain you'll find her throughout history as a goddess of maybe sailors or a goddess of this or that. Something to do with the water and the birds and the fishes in the water. That's her realm of responsibility. Any god that you see with wings, of course, means they have the ability to fly. And every one of these gods flew down to Earth from their planet, Nibiru. So the wings are not necessary, as you can see, for instance, on artifact 2E under Nanshi. Right above Nanshi is a disc with wings. That's not the sun. That's the flying saucer that they travel in. So wings on the alien god simply means that god is capable of flight, not that he flies, but the flying saucer flies that he is inside. Sometimes a pilot, sometimes not. Every pilot today has his wings. That custom comes from right here. You can see it yourself. Wings depict flight. You cannot be a pilot until you get your wings. You see how these symbols are carried on all the way through till today and very much used today. I'm showing you artifacts that are thousands and thousands of years old. Long before we started, or Masons started using these symbols of the gods. Also on 2E, if you look at that wing disc, now you're getting very close to BMW's logo or Chrysler. It's used many, many times all over the place. All it's saying is, I'm a Mason and I know the secrets of the gods. That's all that says, these symbols. When you see a current day symbol of the gods, that's a Mason that did that. Okay, Nancy, there's a lot on her. There's a 2-star hymn to Nancy. I recommend you read it. Nina, goddess of oracles, again, Enki's daughter through the Udu mess that Ninhursag takes over. Not much on her. Nanasu, that's a god you can find in texts for sure. And again, son to Enlil and Nenlu, in other texts, son to Nergal and Ereshkigal, because you'll find Nanasu assisting Ereshkigal in the underworld. And he's, I guess, Nanazu is the father to Ningazita. So Ningazita Nanazu and Ereshkigal, you've got Ningazita. And so forth, and Amasiloma and so forth. So there's a major minor god, and many texts, one of them's got a 1-star. Nendera, the tax collector of the sea. Well, okay, that explains it quite clearly. Utu's son and Nanshi's spouse. You can see how this one marries the other, all within the bloodline of the king. And his descendants came down, colonized Earth, got tired of the work, and started looking for a worker race. And Enki and Ninhursag, with the help of Ningazita, develop humans from Neanderthal. All of a sudden, we're Homo sapien. Thanks to Ninhursag, Enki, and some help with Ningazita. That's a million years of evolution that seemed to have happened overnight. Man went from caveman to living with the gods under his house in the cities that are established right below the ziggurat called temple, but it's the house of the god that lives there. Many ziggurats in between the Tigris and the Euphrates. You'll find them mostly along the Euphrates. Ninjukuga's goddess of grains. I believe what you're talking about here is Nasaba, just another name for Nasaba, who is the grain goddess you'll see here seated in a ziggurat with grains growing off of her shoulders. Okay, and of course married to Haya, who is the barley god. Ningirim, daughter to Enki, not much given to us on Ningirim. Now, wait a minute, under Ninjukuga, the text Nanner and Ningal's a 3-star. That is important to read. Any 3-star will give you the most information provided by these texts. So that's why it's 3-starred. Ninima, daughter to Enki and a descendant of Enki. Mother to Utu with Enki. I mean, Enki just had sex with his descendants and produced more females that he had sex with, more descendants. You can see all that, I guess, through Ninhursag's page or Enki's page. But here they are listed as minor gods, directly related to the major gods. Ninkasi, oh, how important is she? Again, she's born from the Udu thing that then Herzog delivers for Enki. Ninkasi becomes the goddess of beer. And these gods like to get drunk. So lots of beer is consumed and wine. And you can see many artifacts of the gods drinking. Or of Ninkasi making the beer. Or offering a drink. Then Kuru, daughter to Enki and Ninsar. You see how this happens? More daughters with Enki and descendants. And also in some texts, the mother to Udu. So is Nunkur the other girl? I don't know. I've got them both listed separately. Ninmarki is the oldest daughter to Nina with Enki. Are you getting confused? It's very difficult to keep all this straight. I try to keep it straight for you, and that's why I lay it out like this. But Enki just has girls everywhere, has sex with them, and has more girls. That's what's happening here. Ninsar, she's the vegetation goddess. And again, Enki and then Herzog. Okay? And this one is, I don't believe, through Utu. It's just simply Enki and then Herzog. Let's see. I believe that's correct. Nenshuber. Okay, here's a major assistant to Inanna. She's also an author. She's the daughter to Kaka, which has his realm of responsibility with animals. But Nenshuber, you'll see her giving praise to Inanna in many artifacts. One after another, Nenshuber is there supporting Inanna. Okay. Of course, there are texts and a triple must read with the Inanna's descent. That's under Nenshuber. Nensakila, daughter to Enki and then Herzog. Another one of the Utu messes. Nensakila, she was given Dilmun. Dilmun is on the Saudi Peninsula. So when you get around Oman and so forth, you're talking the area of Nensakila, given to her by her father, Enki. And there are artifacts that are discovered in that area where you will see. As a matter of fact, there's a map that'll even show you where Dilmun is supposed to be. Okay? And not much on her. Next is Ninsutu, spouse to Nanazu. Another one of those delivered by Ninherzog for Enki. Not a lot said about it that I can give you, but here is what I have. Ninti, same thing. I just have a little here to show you that where she comes from. Okay, her lineage. Nintula, same thing. And you can go through the quotes to find about the lineage. Nasaba, very important goddess. I debated whether or not to give her her own page. She's that important. She's the master scribe. So anything written on earth started to, was written by her. And then later written by other scribes, such as Nabu and others. And then later, maybe even the kings begin to learn to read and write, which they did, but that took quite a bit of time. Anyway, Nasaba is the goddess of grain. She's the one that you'll see with crops growing right off of her shoulders. And her husband, same way. He's the barley god. So you'll see them through these artifacts and it doesn't get any more important than feeding the gods who came down. And that's where this girl definitely played the part there. She kept records of the crops. So, I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of the records of crop growing. And all of that was written by her and later by other gods and then later by earthlings. All of these texts, the beginning texts, the oldest ones, they're not written by man. They're written by the aliens, those who came down and looked just like us. So under Nasaba, you'll find a couple stars. One's a three-star on before all befores. It's just telling you the importance of this girl. The debate between sheep and grain, two-star. Debate between hoe and the plow. You get it? She's related to the crops, and it doesn't get any more important than that. Nusku, or Nusku, it's spelled two different ways, Enlil's son, and the spouse to St. Arnuna, and St. Arnuna, I can't recall what her lineage is. She'll be coming up. Symbols the oil lamp. Nusku, you'll see, kind of merged into the boat. You know, he's heading up the direction of the boat. You'll see him in the front with his body melded into the boat. But the oil lamp is his symbol, and you'll see that lots of places, and you'll see him usually with Enlil. Okay, Papsicle, Nanarin Ningal's son. Nanarin Ningal, we're talking Ur. Many important things happening in Ur. Papsicle is... there's not much on Papsicle at all. Pegasus, well, I mean, the Greeks can tell you about Pegasus, but here Pegasus is in way before Greece. Okay? It all comes from somewhere, and that is these gods. Sed Arnunar, like I said, that's right, Anu's daughter, the king. Spasta Nusku, or Nusku. Shara, we'll call that Cupid, and you'll have a better understanding. God of love and war, because his mother is the goddess of love and war. And by the way, Inanna, who espoused all these important mixed-breed kings, the Nephilim, in this case, she actually has a son, offspring, with a mixed breed king, Shu Shen. To my knowledge, Shara is the only offspring that she has, to my knowledge. Susanna, that's the junior wife to Enlil, and there isn't much about her. Udu, very important. We've already been through how Enki had sex with her. She didn't enjoy it. I mean, she was not happy with it. Tells her mother. Her mother freaks out, takes over the pregnancy, and delivers all these children for Enki. Anyway, her realm of responsibility is she's the weaver. She's in charge of the clothes making, spinning the thread, teaching others how to do it. All this work, every little thing that is needed in a civilization, they had to establish. And it took many of these gods to be assigned realms of responsibility so that can be done fairly quickly. You sure need the clothes and the sheets and whatever else you want to use cloth for. Zababa, Sunda Enlil, and basically you're going to see symbols of Zababa. I don't have many artifacts that I can identify as Zababa. Anyway, his artifacts, his symbol is what you see here. It starts off with a couple artifacts as Zababa, and then it goes into his symbols. Okay? And of course, he may be winged. There you go, the eagle symbol. It's just the eagle head. And you'll find that symbol all over the place when they use the symbols on the artifacts of the gods. And of course, the Masons kept those symbols alive. Not all, but most all. And that is the minor gods that are major minor gods. And as you saw, they all have a direct relationship to the king. And that some were born on earth. Some came down in the original group that established the colony. And of course, Enlil was appointed man in charge, the chief colony commander. Okay, many different artifacts here. It takes time to understand what I just said, but it's all in the artifacts and some in the text. It's kind of hard to deny these events didn't happen. Like hell, they didn't happen. Why would you go through all the work of reverse carving a cylinder seal that was fashioned out of a rock, reverse carving this scene, rolling on wet clay, firing it very hot in the kilns, and it becomes hard as rock? These artifacts lasted thousands of years. I just can't believe that they would go through all this work to preserve a scene that happened on Earth in our past. That's our history, guys. It's our beginning. So I hope you take a good look at this stuff. It couldn't be any more important. If you're looking for knowledge, it's here. Thank you for coming to this website. I truly appreciate the time you spend, but I think you need to keep coming back so you can look at the next guy or the next text. It's all laid out here, so you won't find it any other place the way it is here. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks again for coming to my website.